Parashas Kisetse has, I think, 66 mitzvahs, 70, and 77 mitzvahs.
64.
No, it's more than 64.
Well, it says in the... What does it say? I think it's 77 mitzvahs.
12% of all the mitzvahs.
Yeah. Okay, it's the, I think that this parasha has the most mitzvahs. All the parashas has the most mitzvahs. All the parashas in the Torah is jam packed. Yeah, that's right. That's right. 74. 74? Okay. There are many. Now let's discuss the beginning. There are two things in the parasha where there's really more than two, but there are two parts of the parasha where Rashi makes the point of telling us in a very pronounced way that if you do this, then this is what is going to happen. Mitzvah goyreres mitzvah, avera goyreres avera. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, and one avera leads to another avera. There are two, it's really more than twice in the parasha, but the other parts of the parasha, I think it's the other thing that I remember going over the Rashi's was more minor, but there are two parts of the parasha where it's pronounced. Number one is the first beginning of the parasha. He said, say, la milchama al oyevecha, unisanoi Hashem lekecha b'yodecha v'shavisa shavisa, you are successful, you capture, you succeed and you take captives. And then V'reisa Bashivya, you see among the captives, Eisha Sifas Toyar, a beautiful woman, you have a desire for her, and V'lokachto L'chol Isha. And what happens? You go through an entire process. The Torah does not really want you to marry this woman because she's a non-Jewish woman. It's because your Yetzer Hara is overwhelming you, and the Torah was mad to her, because if the Torah would not permit her to you, you would do it anyway. So therefore, at least do it through a prescribed way to minimize the damage. And the Torah continues to discourage the person from permanently living with her by going through this procedure, a procedure of bringing her to the door and and taking off her beautiful clothing and having her nails grow long and shaving her hair and causing her to cry. Why? Because of the next parasha. The next parasha says, Ki sienel ish, person has a bain. Well, the next parasha is a person has two wives, and one of them he loves, Vo'achas sinu'ah, he hates this woman. And Rashi says, if you proceed to marry this Eshes Yifas Toya that you found in the battlefield, you will come to hate her. And that's not pleasant. And then what else is going to happen? The next parasha, ki yel ish bein soirer umayre, einenu shomea b'kol aviv v'kol imo. It's going to come to have a child who is a ben soirer umayre, and the halacha is when the child is 13 years old. It's a very short period of time. It's 3 months between 13 years old and for the next 3 months he will. Okay, he will steal from his parents. He will engage in eating meat and drinking wine, and he will then come to steal money from his parents, and he will use that money to buy wine, to buy meat, and he's caught. So the halach is the parents have to come to the subs of the imam, they tell them what he did. And the end is that he has to be executed. Now the Chazal tells us, in fact, this never happened. What parent would be able to take their child and say about their child that their child is chayiv misa, is a ben soirer umoireh? What did the kid do? Every kid does this. So he took some pocket change. He took a couple of dollars out of my purse, out of my wallet, and he went and he bought himself, he went to Essen am Kolmi, and he went and he bought himself a corned beef sandwich. And he bought a bottle of wine. For this, you have to murder him? What are you kidding? He's a tzaddik. My kaddishol. He's a tzaddik or my kaddishol. You're going to murder him? It's very, very hard for a parent to be able to see the signs of what's going to become of him. Chazal say, if you don't do this now, what will happen is the day will come when he will get older. He will continue to engage in this activity. And he will stand by the crossroads. And he will murder people. He'll be chayiv misa, It's better that he should die now. Zakai, don't wait 10, 15 years until the Bezin will eventually kill him for murder and die chayiv. Nip it in the bud. Murder the child or execute the child now. And Rashi tells us all of this is going to happen. You know why? Because of that battle. All of this is a result of going to battle. Everybody's going to battle, and you come across, this man comes across an Eishes Yifas Toyar. He cannot control his Yetzer Hara. He takes her into the house. He marries her. The Torah does not want you to marry her. She's not a Jewish woman. She does not have your values. She's not raised with Yiras Shemayim. If you don't listen to Hashem and try to get rid of her, the end is, if you're going to marry, you're going to come to hate her. And then she's going to bring forth for you a child that's a Ben Soire Umoire, and it's just going to be pure Agmas Nefesh. One thing leads to another. Okay? That's what Rashi says. Let me, in fact, read you the words of the Rashi to bring out the point. When it comes to Pasuk Tesvav, we begin with the woman that he hates. Pasuk Gidav Eishes, I feel Eishes Ish. Rashi here says, "Im nasa, if he does marry this woman, soifai lihiyos soina, the end will be he will hate her. Shenemar achrav ki siena leish v'soifai lohaylid mimena bein soirer umoire lekach nisnuchu paparshios halal." That's the reason for the juxtaposition. Three parashiyos back to back, the Mulchama, Eishes Yifas Toyar, Kisyenu Lishtei Noshim, and then Ben Soya Rebora. Rashi's words are, Lekach Nismechu Parashiyos Halalu. Rashi only says these exact words, Nismechu Parashiyos Halalu, one other time in this week's parasha. And that is Kan Sipur. Just go fast forward just a little bit. Person, person is on the road, and he happens to come across a kanet sipar. Okay, so we all know the parasha, don't take the mother with the chicks or with the eggs. Shaleach teshalach esoem v'yesabarim tikachloch l'man itelach v'erach d'yamim. Very nice, beautiful. Next pasuk. Ki sivne bayis chodosh. A new bayis. How much do new bayis cost? $2 million. Wow, a gvir. Today, can you imagine? Today, someone builds a new house. Someone buys a house today. Your mom is a gvir to go buy a house. Buy is chadash. So the Torah says, "Oh, mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The asisa makeh legagecha. Make for your house a roof." Okay. Then it says, "Lesasim dambe v'sakipol nefem imenu." Next pasuk, "Lesizra karmecha kilayim."
You have to make a roof.
Yes.
I mean, let's make it.
Okay, that's a sugya in itself. It's a big sugya. The sugya of Micah is a big, big sugya. There's a mitzvah. If a person builds a house and he has a flat roof on top of his house, there are a lot of halachas in Micah. It's a very big sugya. It's a complicated sugya.
Does he have to make a flat roof?
He doesn't have to make a flat roof. It only applies if you do have a flat roof. Because that's a different sugya. We're not going into the laws of Micah now. All we're going is if a person has a house, they build a new house, there's a mitzvah of Micah. After that, we have another halacha. Ki sizra karmacha, kill him. Wow, a gvir. He has vineyards. Do you know anyone that has vineyards? Do you have a vineyard in your backyard? Maybe you have a vineyard in your backyard. A vineyard. A vineyard, and you grow. You got to be a gvir. You have vineyards, investments all over the world. So there's a halacha. Like sizra karmacha, kill him. Make sure there are no seeds, there are no grain seeds in its vicinity. Okay, next pasuk. Like sacharosh b'shar uvachamor yachtav. Oh, another investment. I own land. I own farms, and we grow grain, wheat, barley. Look at that. We have to plow the field. I have animals. Oh, even a bigger gevir. So you have a donkey and you have an ox. You're not allowed to plow together. So many things. Next, clothing. Like silver shatnes. You buy a new suit. You got to go to the shatnes laboratory. Tzemer pishim yachtov. Next mitzvah. Gedilim ta'aselecha. A nice talis. For your Aiden, now that you're such a gevir, so you know it's all the boys who want to marry your daughter because you're a gevir. You got to buy for them a talis, right? A chasa talis. Wow, mitzvah, 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 mitzvah. Rashi, What does Rashi say on this pasuk? Pasuk kisivne bayis chadash. Pasuk ches kisivne im kiyamta mitzvas shiluach hakeim. If you mekayim the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, soifcha, you know what the end's going to be? Livnos bayis chadash. You mekayim one mitzvah, Hashem will make you into a gevir. You'll build a new house and you'll have an opportunity. V'tiskayim mitzvas maika. I did that mitzvah. Ooh, another mitzvah. Shemitzvah, good at a mitzvah. V'sagia l'kerem. I'll make a new investment. I'll buy vineyards. And you'll have the mitzvah of l'sizra karma, a vineyard. You know what's the purpose of having a vineyard? It's just an opportunity not to plant kalayim. And then you'll make another investment. V'sode. Why do you have fields? It's just an opportunity not to shor v'chamor yachtov. Next investment, I'll buy clothing. I'll buy a clothing store. What's the purpose of having investment and being involved in the industry, in the garment industry? Ula begadim noyim, make sure there's no shatnes. And then I'll go into the tzitzis business. And you'll have tzitzis. And why? Because mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. So look at that. We have over here two sections of this parsha where Rashi makes the point. The reason why these mitzvahs are all in sequence is, these things are in sequence is because one thing leads to another. If you're mekayim the mitzvah shiluach hakan, somehow that will bring you the school, it will bring you a merit to do the mitzvah of maika. And that will bring you the merit to have a keren. And that will give you the opportunity to have a sada. And that will give you the opportunity to have clothing. Beautiful. On the other hand, in the beginning of the parasha, the Torah says, if you do this aveira, this negative, you go to war, it's a battlefield, and you see a non-Jewish woman, you know, that's not for you. A non-Jewish woman, it's not for you. What are you getting involved over here? Yetzirah. All right? Yetzirah. But I'm warning you, don't do it. I can't help it. I do it. Oh, you did it. You married her. What comes next? You'll come to hate her. And you're going to come to violate the laws of Yerusha. When you make your will, lo yuchal, don't go play games and try to deny the Bechor what it rightfully belongs to him. And then that's going to also lead to a ben soirer umayer. The positive and the negative. But there's a fundamental difference between the two. A major, major fundamental difference between these two sections. When it comes to Kan Sipur, the mitzvah of Kan Sipur is one of the only mitzvahs in the entire Torah that you cannot prepare for. Ki yikore. How do you do the mitzvah? You wake up in the morning. I have a calendar, I have a schedule. It does not send anyone's planner in the world on my planner today at 3 o'clock when I'm walking home from Mincha. I'm coming home from Mincha. Oh, stop off and you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein.
Could you call somebody?
Okay, that's a different story. Today they make business. It's definitely what they do today, definitely not in the spirit of the halach. Is it wrong to do it? No, obviously not. It's the biggest smile is you're giving someone parnasa. People need parnasa. That's how they make parnasa. So you help them make parnasa. You call them up, and they will create for you a situation that's called ki yikore, which is very funny. Very funny, but halachically works. And people want schusim, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael wants schusim. Okay, nothing wrong.
I do what I did.
It's an opportunity to learn the mitzvah halacha. It definitely has a lot of milos. In looking in the newspaper for a shiluach hakein service, in order to mekayim the mitzvah, there's nothing. It's a beautiful thing, a wonderful, wonderful learning experience, and maybe that itself brings the schus. Just to learn the halacha, some of the people, they're very knowledgeable and they're svarim to prepare for it, how to do the whole thing. Okay, and then technically you create artificial situations where there's a mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with it. Is it the ideal? I'm sorry, maybe you can convince someone else, but you're not going to convince me that this is the ideal. The Torah says ki vikore. Ki yikare means it just happens. A chance occurrence. You cannot prepare for it. Years ago, I don't know how many siyumim hashas go back, when they had the siyum hashas, the agudas, yishol siyum hashas, they had a one-man band, and they finished, it was in Madison Square Garden, and they finished Hajj Alach, and they said the Kaddish, the Aviron B'Yomah V'Yimru Amen, and they had a guy on the keyboard on the stage, Simin Tov and Mazel Tov and Simin Tov. And then unexpectedly, everyone got up and started to dance in Madison Square Garden. Spontaneous dancing. I was there. It was awesome. Never had such an experience in my whole life. It was unbelievable. No, it wasn't unexpected. You finish Mazel Tov, they play a little niggun on the guy on the one-man band. Fast forward 7.5 years later. This is a little bit of a joke, but it's not a joke. They have on the schedule, this is going to speak, this one, the Messiah, blah, blah, and then we're going to have on the schedule, we're going to have the Messiah, and this Rav is going to say the Kaddish, and then at exactly 2:35, we will now have spontaneous dancing. on the schedule, unexpected. Unexpected spontaneous dancing, right? That was the joke going around. Like, and now we're going to be prepared for the unexpected. We're going to have a 10-piece band this time, right? Unexpected spontaneous dancing. Ki yikare kan sipar is unexpected. So yeah, a call up a service, it's the same joke. It's the unexpected spontaneous fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan at exactly this time and this place and so on and so forth. Point of here is though, the very essence of Shluch HaKan is a mitzvah that you cannot prepare for. Now think about it. When you go do mitzvahs, like you prepare, you put a lot of effort into preparation for what you want to go do. Yeah, look, today I'm going to say Tashlich. Okay, now is soon coming time to say Tashlich. So if you don't have an opportunity to say Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, and you can go to your favorite place to say Tashlich, so what do you do? Today, at Sersimei Tshuva, I know I have to leave work early, or I have to stop here, and we're going to go to Tashlich. I put myself in a frame of mind, we're going to go to Tashlich. Person wants to go to the cemetery for a yard site, on a yard site, okay? I got to take off time, I got to call, change my schedule. The people that I'm supposed to work with, call and do, I have to plan. I have to make sure the car is ready. I got to make sure this is ready. I got to check the weather. Everything has to be in position. Okay? You want to go buy a little Vanessa? They got to go to the store. Well, I'm a busy guy. I do things the whole day. When am I going to have time to go buy a little Vanessa? I take out time of my schedule to go and make an appointment to buy a little Vanessa. Shiluach HaKan, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. If someone says to you, you have a whole schedule, come with me, let's go today to the cemetery, to this great cemetery to be Mispala. Oh, I can't go. I'm sorry. I'm busy. No, so whatever you're doing, just forget about what you're doing. Just get away for an hour. I can't. Okay, I'll go. I'll sneak out. You're not in a frame of mind. People are walking in the street. You try to stop them for 1 minute. Go on Avenue M and try to stop a person for 1 minute to do you a favor. I can't. I'm on my way. Can you do it for me tomorrow? Okay, we'll plan when we're going to do it. It's a frame of mind. Ki yikare, out of nowhere, you're busy, you're running. Oh, opportunity to do the mitzvah of Shluach HaKen. There's a birds, there's a nest, and there are eggs, and there's a mother bird. Yeah, but I'm not planning to do this now. That was not my plan. So it wasn't your plan. Opportunity is knocking at your door. The Torah says, if you take advantage of an opportunity that's not expected, just like that, you know what could happen to you? Oh, I'll take away the mother, take the eggs. The next day, guess what? You have $1 million house and you're building a mica. The next day, you're buying vineyards in France for the most exquisite wine for your Pesach Seder that you can enjoy in your new house. The next day, you buy land to grow wheat for that Pesach Seder. You have now the Pesach Seder, you have a new house. And in the new house, you have your own wine from your own vineyard, and you have your own matzah from your own field. And you're going to be wearing this most beautiful clothing at the Pesach Seder that's not shatnez, and have a new talis with nice tzitzis. How did all this come about? Because in the middle of nowhere, I'm walking down the street, I'm running to Mincha, I'm running to the store, I'm busy, 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 and in the corner of my eye, I see an unexpected opportunity. Ki yikore. Unexpected, never in my wildest dreams that I think I wake up this morning and that opportunity would be there, just right there. And you take advantage. The next thing you know, you're sitting in this exquisitely beautiful home with wine that you yourself produce, a matzah that you made yourself, wearing the most beautiful clothing, and coming to shul the next day with beautiful tzitzis. How did this happen? How? I didn't plan for this. Ki yikore. You took advantage of a situation that you didn't even plan for. It just a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. Chap! Chap the mitzvah! You don't need to say the whole and go and prepare hachanis, hachanis, hachanis. It comes to you like that. On the other hand, look at the difference. When it comes to aveos, how does a person come to a tzara, rachmono litzlan, a tzara like none other, to have a child that's a ben soira remoira? How did that happen? Just wake up one day, you get a call from the menahel, oh, I'm sorry to tell you, your child is a ben soira remoira. Come, we're going to kill him today. I mean, how does that happen? Well, you did an aveo. You did not, what did you do? Well, I should not have married this woman. That's how it came down. What do you want from me? It was an opportunity. There was a beautiful woman there. The Torah bent backwards to prevent you from doing this. The Torah said, you know what? I'll let you give in to your Yetzirah once. Give in to the Yetzirah just once. Then take this woman, shave off her hair. Have her grow long nails. Take off her beautiful clothing. She should be disgusting. Step on her. The Torah went out of its way that this decision that you're making that's going to take you down a path of Chorban should not be just a chance occurrence. It's not a chance. This Ben Soyer Moira didn't just happen. Oh, what do you want from me? It just happened. Just, you know, what do you want? It's not my fault. It's a mazel. A mazel. Hashem gave me the Ben Soyer Moira. No, he didn't. He didn't give, this is not your mazel. You just got it by accident, it happened to you. You're responsible for this. And I issued you only 1,000 warnings. Hashem, I did everything in the world possible to persuade you not to do it. This entire procedure is all a procedure to hit home, to beg the person, don't go down this path. It's going to destroy you. If you're going to marry this woman, you're going to come to hate her. You'll have agmas nefesh. The child you're going to have from her is going to be a ben sora mara. I don't want you. So I'll do everything in my power to prevent you from this happening. You shouldn't imagine how good it would have been. I'll let you be with her one time. Take off her clothing. Let her grow long nails. Take off her, shave off her hair. She should cry. And she should look like, you step on her when you walk into the door, tie her down to the doorpost. I'm trying so hard for you to realize, this is not a chance occurrence. Look at the difference in this week's parsha between Chaim and Moses. Re'ei, nosati lefanecha hayoim, es ha-chaim v'es ha-moves. Uvochartu v'chaim. And to be boicher v'chaim is so easy. You have an opportunity. Ki yikore. How long does it take you to do this mitzvah? I can't see. It takes a second. You're walking down the street. You didn't plan for it. There's no l'shem yichud for Shulchan Aruch. But when you put on your tefillin, you wash shem yichud. You put on your talis, shem yichud. Sfira so'oy, may ever go to a shtibul? The shem yichud can take a half an hour. The rabbi reads every word slowly. So busy by the chassidim, the shem yichud. They read the whole the shem yichud. I mean, my father in Young Israel, he would say the whole the shem yichud, nila benila. People had a very hard time, very little patience. The shem yichud every mitzvah. But shiluach hakein, there's no shem yichud. You know why? Because the essence is ki yikorei. On the spur of the moment, you just come in contact with an opportunity to take advantage of this mitzvah. But when it comes to an avera, korban, Hashem berachav of Hamerubin gives you ample warning to persuade you don't go down this path. Two parts of the parasha, each one is presenting Hashem's hanhava, that Hashem wants us to succeed. He makes it easy. Wants us to fail, it makes it very, very hard to fail. Okay, let's go to a new idea, another idea.
Why are only a Dane so not
a Bas? A Bas, excellent question. Does the same halach apply to a girl? I don't know the answer. Seemingly not, but maybe it does. I don't know the answer.
Could we go to those times didn't go out?
But let's say she does. Is there such a halach by a Bas? I don't think so. I don't believe so. I think it's only by a male. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I hear the question, I don't know. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're holding now in Yimei Elul, and the parasha.
Bain could also mean child.
All right, that's the question. That's the dilemma. Does Bain mean male, or does it mean non-gender specific? A child, a girl also. I do not know the answer. Seemingly not, because it's not the derech of an isha to go to the parash astarach and murder people. It seems not, but maybe yes. I don't know the answer. Okay, let's go to another idea. Bein Soira Umar is a very difficult parasha because it's not fair. Shutu Kemashmo, it's just not fair. What did the child do already? It's not the way of the Torah, this Tahobma approach. The child did nothing. The child, he stole a couple of bucks. How much did he already steal? He stole from his parents a few dollars, and he bought meat, and he bought wine, and he drank. He had lunch. There's no question the parents will be Michael him. Stole $10 from his parents, and for that he's chayv nisa, a brutal death of skila. Skila, what's and skila? By the way, is even what is this is one of the questions they ask is that what does Rashi say? If you don't kill him now, he's going to die chayv. What does it mean he's going to die chayv? He's going to continue to enjoy meat and wine, and he's going to run out of money one day. In order to get more money, he's going to steal from people. And one thing will lead to another, and eventually have resistance, so he'll kill someone. He'll kill someone in order to steal their money so that he can go buy his meat and his wine. Let's say that if he kills someone, eventually he'll get caught. And he'll get caught, Bezdin will kill him. So when Bezdin kills him, he'll die a death of Nisaz Bezdin Chayev. Better he should die now, an innocent child. Wait a minute, when Bezdin will eventually kill him for murder, what kind of death does he get? Sayef, decapitation. So what is it? So he should kill him now in advance. How do you kill him now in advance? Skila. What's worse? Skila is worse. The form of death of skila is much, much more, is more severe than sayef. It's not fair. If you're killing him now because of what he will eventually do, so give him now sayef. Why are you killing the child now with even a misa that's more severe than what he will ultimately deserve? Isn't that a powerful question? You tell him over here, the Torah knows better. The Torah was yoreh to the end. The Torah knows what's going to happen to this child. He's going to murder. Okay, so let's go murder. Let's now execute him now for murder. When one is executed for murder, what does he get? He gets Saif. On the levels of the four Misos Bezdin, Saif is not as bad as Skila. Skila is considered to be the worst. The most brutal, Skila means they throw him off a building. Okay, they throw him off a building. And his head bangs into the ground, and then if he doesn't die with that, they stone him and make sure he's dead. That's a much more gruesome, painful, inhumane form of death than saiv is really shchita. Saiv, in essence, if you use shchita on animals, so the type of misas bezin of saiv is we have a tradition that the way we do shchita is humane. So saiv is much. How can you go give a? It's what's going on over here. Holding is not fair. And let's to emphasize the question: what do we learn on the first day of Rosh Hashanah regarding Yishmael? Yishmael was dying. The kriya on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Yishmael was dying of dehydration. And what did? And what happened? He was mispalel. Yishmael cried out, and Hashem says, "I'm going to save him." Vayar Hashem. What was the pasuk say? Ba'asher hu sham. Ba'asher hu sham chazal da'ashem. What do you mean? The Malachim Hashar said, how could you go and save this person, this Yishmael? Hashem, look into the future. Look what this person will, his descendants will do. Look at the crimes. Look at the murder of what Yishmael will become one day. How can you allow him to live? Look into the future. So Hashem says, Ba'asher hu sham. If right now, this person is a good person, he has not done any Avera, but he's not Chayiv Nisafor, I'm not going to kill him now. I'm not going to look into this. Don't tell me this. I'm going to go look into the future and see what he's going to do in the future. That's not Mishpat. That's not Tzedek. So how do you reconcile the theme of the day of Rosh Hashanah, Ba'asher Hu Sham, that Yishmael, Hashem did not punish Yishmael because you don't judge a person in the future, relative to what it says in this week's parasha, where the Ben Saramar is going to die because Al Shem Soifai? Right? Isn't this a very good question? And the basic question, what's the chilik between Yishmael, Ba'asher Hu Sham, and the Ben Soramar? It's a very big question. There are many answers. The answer that I enjoy, and that when you use, just to bring out a homiletic point, is the differences between your own lifetime and the lifetime of your descendants. When Hashem says, I will not look into the future, that means I will not look into the future regarding your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. We don't do that. Ba'asher hu sham. This person, Yishmael, is he a good person right now? Did he do any crime and he deserves to die? No.
I think he did, because Sarah had already driven
out. So he was driven out, but he didn't deserve to die. He was not behaving well. Just because a child does not behave well in the classroom, you don't kill him. You tell him, you send him out. Right? If a child makes trouble in the classroom, what do? Leave. You don't say, don't leave, we're going to kill you. You don't do that. There's Sarah did not want him out. Sarah never said he should die. Never. She never gave him a gezer of misa. Never. You just can't be here. Well, you're a bad influence. You're a bad influence on my child. Okay, this is ma'aseh b'chol yom in yeshivas. When do you throw a child out of the yeshiva? When you do not throw? And the basic rule of thumb is, as long as a child is not a bad influence on the other children, you keep him. You keep him. If the child becomes a bad influence on other children, you got a big problem on your hands. And you may have to, in fact, tell him to leave. As Sarah made that decision that he's a bad influence, he was a bad influence, and he has to be dismissed. But Sarah never ever said he has to die. And Hashem says he doesn't have to die now, Ba'asher Hu Sham. The Ben Sarah mother, Rashi says, in his own lifetime, give it a couple of years. Just give it a couple of years. He likes meat, he likes wine. These are expensive things. He's going to need the money, he's going to steal, he's going to not have enough money, he's going to go to the crossroads, he's going to rob people, and he's going to murder. In his own lifetime. In your own lifetime, we look into the future. And if they already tell, there are simon and mufhakim, what's going to be, you're in trouble right now.
I was thinking of it, even though you were a nivra, but you could compare it nowadays to the drug problem. Kids start the drugs, you cannot, no intervention.
What could happen?
What could happen at the end?
So this is, I think, a very powerful story. It's not my story, but before I can say this story, and it's very true in Musa, in dealing with everything in your life. A person has to always look in his own lifetime where he's heading. The Ben Sawyer people are very comfortable saying, listen, I don't want to know what's going to be down the line in 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Basher Husham, Yishmael, Yishmael Basher Husham. Ben Sarah Moira. What's the chilek? Oh, you'll say Ben Sarah Moira, he's doing Aveira, you try to answer. No, very simple, very, very simple. Ben Sarah Moira is your own lifetime. In your own lifetime, in your life expectancy, you have to look at yourself, how much more time do I have in this world? No one lives forever. Sorry. How much time do you have left in this world? You have to plan. Where am I holding? What's my trajectory? Where are we going? You have to make that plan. And you are judged today on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You are judged Al Shem Soifai. You are judged. I am now on a plan that is a destructive plan in my life. This is how I conduct myself. This is the type of lifestyle I have. And it's just going to get worse. The more I continue to engage in these activities, the more I slide. But listen, right now I'm under control. Right now I come on the Yom HaDin. Everything is fine and good. Right now I'm able to hide, make believe. Everything is fine and good. No, that's not the way it goes. Every single person is begeder a bein soirer umayr. Because every single person has to appreciate you are judged al shem soifai in your own lifetime. Do you have to worry about your grandchildren? Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? No! That's not your problem. That's not your problem. You do the best that you can do, and if things aren't pleasing in your eyes, all right, so you do what you can do. That's not your responsibility. Don't worry, they'll do very, very well. They'll be very successful. That's not your issue is to look al shame soifer from your own point of view. Okay, and let's go to now. I want to tell you something very. I want to talk a few more things. I want to a little politics also in a few moments, but I want to tell you something a little bit wild, something more in the world of fantasy, and I can't really figure this out. And it's just more something to think about, more something very, very raw. We have this parasha mitzvah kansipa. Okay, kansipa. What's kansipa? There is a bird, a mother bird. The mother bird is hovering over its chicks or its eggs. You come to the nest. Ah, look at that. Free food. I see there scrambled eggs. I see there an omelet. The mother is there also, so that's going to be my dinner for tonight. The mother is going to be my dinner.
Does it have to be a kosher bird then?
Yes, it must be a kosher bird. It must be. What do you see? You come there, you see the dollar signs go off in your mind. I see there breakfast and dinner. I see the bird, poultry. We're going to shecht it. We're going to have that for dinner. And the chicks, there are going to be eggs. We're going to have that for breakfast. That's it. I have breakfast and dinner all ready to go. The Torah says, breakfast, yes, dinner, no. Loisika cho'em al abanim. Send her away. You can take the eggs, but don't take the mother. What happens? They take the eggs. The mother comes back. What does the mother say?
Where are my eggs?
Where are the eggs? She has tzar. She has enormous, enormous tzar. What's the tzar? Torah is telling you to give tzar to the mother? How does that work? So there's Kabbalah in Yonim. I don't know, whatever. Or you can say, there's another approach to say is, you're entitled. You're a human being. You're the dominant species. You're entitled to take the eggs. You're anyway going to take the eggs. That's the way the world was set up. You're going to take the eggs. The Torah just says, hey, take the eggs, but have rachmanis upon. Minimize the tzar, because if you take the mother with the eggs, it causes her more tzar. They're all captives together. If the mother is sent away and the mother doesn't see, there's a pain, there's an enormous pain of the mother witnessing the eggs be taken away. Don't let the mother see that. Hide that image of the mother seeing the eggs be taken away, that it shouldn't see. If you're going to let the mother be there and you as let the mother watch you take away the eggs in front of her, that's overbearing.
How do we know that maybe the mother's on the top in the tree there watching
there? You have to say, no, you have to, it seems like you have to send it out of sight.
Why have to send it
out of sight? You have to know the halachas. It's complicated halachas. Pasha says mother cannot witness this today. It's a horror for the mother to see this happen. So the Torah, in essence, is having rachmanis. And the Torah is having rachmanis to go all the way. Don't take anything. Don't take the eggs. Don't. You want to have so much rachmanis upon the mother, don't take the eggs. If you see a mother with the eggs, wow, nature, nature. Don't disturb nature. Don't ever take those eggs. So how could you eat eggs? So maybe only if there's no mother. You know, you have a single... The mother disappeared. The mother's nurse, you never saw the mother to begin with. What you don't know, I don't know. Obviously, there's a balance. Obviously, the Torah is telling you, you can't go solve every problem. You can't solve every problem in this world. The Torah says, I created this world, I gave you the right, a human being in the Torah. I know maybe, you know, woke society, this may not be true, but in the Torah society, I created a world, and I gave you permission to eat the eggs. Oh, but you're causing tsar to the mother? No. Oh, so once I can eat the eggs, I have no rachmanis. No. That's not the way it is either. It's a balance. What?
Doesn't even say
the halachas, that's one of the halachas. It doesn't say every detail in halacha. The halacha is you have to eat the eggs. If you don't eat the eggs, then it's not so pashut to even take the eggs. That's one of the halachas. You have to use the eggs. If you just take, set away the mother and you take the eggs and you throw in the garbage, you've not accomplished the mitzvah. According
to
many.
You can put the egg back.
What?
You can put the egg back.
It's not so pashut to yoytze. It's not the big, everything's a big machlokes how do the halacha. So many hold that you're not becoming the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just to go cause tsar to the mother. It has to be, I need the eggs, excuse me, I need to eat breakfast. That's how it goes. But you're disturbing, Hashem gave me the right. So Hashem gave me the right, so who cares about the mother? I'll take the eggs in front of the mother. No, just because Hashem gave you the right and the entitlement doesn't mean you should be a brutal dictator and just go do whatever you want. There has to be a balance in the rachmanis. That itself is a very big Musa Haskell in life. Because there are many things in life that you're entitled to do. You're entitled to do a lot of things. But just because you're entitled doesn't mean you should carry out your entitlement with brutality. Okay, you want to go talk politics. I mean, I don't want to offend anyone's feelings, anyone that is sympathetic to the administration of this country. But like, basically, from what I've read, there's not one person that believes that the United States of America should continue to remain in Afghanistan. 20 years is 21 years actually, and how many billions of trillions of dollars is a little bit overwhelming. But when you leave, there's a mahalich. There's a mahalich. You're entitled to leave. You don't have to be there altogether. There's a way to do something. You just don't want. I want the eggs. So take the eggs. You can have the eggs. But the mother's going to come back and have so much agmas nefesh. You can't solve all the world's problems. Okay, so I'll take the eggs right in front of the mother. She'll be flapping her wings and screaming her head off. You do that, you're a Russia. You can take the eggs. Figure out a plan. Figure it out. Figure out a way to do it that's respectable. You're entitled. There's going to be tsar. That's how it goes. Figure out a way to take. Send away the mother and then take it. Oh, she'll come back and have tsar. That's right. She will have tsar. It's not your problem. But don't do it with brutality. Okay. Now let me give you. Okay. Now this week's parashah is something over here. It was very, very, very powerful message in this week's parashah. Now over here, we have here the situation, the parish of all stories. A man, he marries a woman and doesn't like her. So he says about her, He said, he says about, not that he doesn't like her, let's list this case where he says, I married this woman, and we know in the time of Chazal, there was a break. He marries her, they're married, they're fully married, and then they live together as husband and wife a year later, or a period of time later. So a man marries a woman, time passes, he then takes her into his home, and then he discovers that she's not a besula, that she was living with another person in between the time that he married her and the time when he took her into his home. And he goes to court and he says, this woman has betrayed me. This woman has betrayed me. So what is the halacha? So the halacha is, so they make an investigation. They launch an investigation. She says, nah, it's my word against your word. She says, I did nothing wrong. And he says, you live with another person. And the pasuk then says, and what is this called? This is called Moitze Shem Ra. Moitze Shem Ra, he basically, it's a smear campaign. You, my wife, in between the time of Erisin and Nisun, you were unfaithful to me. And he's moitzi upon her a shame ra. He puts her, he posts all the information about her. Bezin doesn't just trust him. Just because you say so, we believe you. You want to go say an outright law, and you can say whatever you want to say and get away with it. Bezin launches an investigation. And Bezin, when they come to the conclusion of the investigation, it says in the pasuk, if they discover he's a liar. You know, it happens sometimes. Just because a person gets in front of a microphone, in front of the entire world, and says something, it doesn't mean it's true. Okay? I mean, this week, the President of the United States was asked by George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
He was asked him in front of the whole world. There are 7.5 billion people in this world. And they all have access to see this interview. The world, the leader of the free world, was asked by one of his own. You know, George Stephanopoulos is more litter than litter. When you're dealing from the perspective of a Democrat, he asked him, Mr. President, I'm not making this up, Mr. President, could this have been done in retrospect differently? Can the evacuation, can the departure have been done differently? Did it have to be like this? People jumping off planes, people being searching. There's Taliban searching people in the street, and they find you. The State Department said that everyone should hide, because if the Taliban catch you in the street, they're going to take away your passport. And then you're done. No one can do anything for you. They're going to take away your passport. In retrospect, can this have been done differently? And the president said, no, it could not. This is how it had to be. Okay? The man says, my wife committed adultery. Outright lie. Outright lie, that's what it says. Outright. Umoitzi oleho shame ra. A shame ra. Don't just believe him. An investigation. And then Bezin discovers, Pasuk says, you're a liar. You are a liar. You said this woman committed adultery, and it's an outright lie. They bring the blood, the dam besulim. That's what they did in time of Chazal. They put out a sheet when they lived together the first time to prove that he's a liar. So it says here in the pasuk, what's the halacha? There are taryag mitzvahs. There are 365 loisaseis. The vast majority of the loisaseis, if you do an avera, a loisase, you get malchus. They take you to Beis Din, they take off your clothing, they lie you down, they tie your hands to a post, and they whip you 39 times, b'kol koichai. And as they whip you, they say, v'hu, rachum, yechaper, avon, 3 times. It doesn't say anywhere, by any mitzvah, what they do to a person when he commits a loisase. It's very vague. You have to make a drasha, find the v'hayim bin ha'kois ha'rasha. You got to go find the drasha and find some words to come out, lamaskona, that if a person eats non-kosher, He gets Malkos. Where does it say that? He gets Malkos. It doesn't say it anywhere. It's all Droshos. It's hidden behind the scenes. The only place in the Torah where it says they take the guy, they take the perpetrator, and they torture him. They torture him. Torah is not a very delicate sefer. The Yisru Oisoi is where a person says a lie and says about someone else, creates a false report, ruins someone's reputation. The Pasuk says they take the Zakenim, Loi Matzasi Lizcha Besulim. They go, the parents come and they said, Hinei who's some alilois devarim. They said about our daughter horrible things, this man. Loi Matzasi Lizcha Besulim. Here's the evidence, the smoking gun. Here is the evidence. The Eile Visulei Viti. Ufarsu Hasim Law, they present the evidence in front of the court. Lifnei Ziknei Hoir. So what does it say in the Torah? So what does this person do? Dibur. You know, he didn't eat anything. He didn't steal anything. He just lied. That's all he really did. He lied. He's a liar. But his lies have major consequences. Because the whole world is talking and saying that this woman is a tramp.
Yeah, but I think that Mufar should say basically that it has to do with the Ksuba. Because if he wanted to get rid of her, all he had to do was give her a get. He didn't have to say anything. The fact that he's making this all up.
So what?
Pay the Ksuba.
It's also all about money. It's all about money. He wants to get out of paying the Ksuba.
Yeah.
Fine. He wants to get out of. So what does he do? He wants to get out of paying the Ksuba. Yeah. So he tells the whole world that she was Mizanet. So he of course, it's always about money. He wants the money. I'll murder the whole world. I'll kill the whole world. I'll kill the whole world because I want some money. So what is that? I don't understand. How does that make a difference? He said about this woman in public. He told the entire world he's going to ruin her life. No one ever want to go near her. That she is an unfaithful woman. She was mizane tachas achupa. What his intent is? Well, who cares what his intent is? He's a selfish person. He wants a couple of dollars. The bottom line is he's moitzi aleha shemra v'som alilois devarim. The parents come present evidence ufarsu hasimla, the best evidence possible lifnei zignei ha'ir that he is a liar. And what does it say? This is the only place in the Torah where it says that when you do something wrong, you are tortured. You're tortured. It talks about death. Death is 1, 2, 3. Death takes place in a second. Here it says, V'lachu ziknei ho'irahi es ho'ish, v'yisru oisai. They take the person, and they torture him. Does it say anywhere else in the entire Torah a Jew is tortured? Doesn't say. Nowhere. Either you kill him, or it says, V'hoyim bin ha'kois ha'rasha, he gets punished.
Or restitution.
Well, he has to pay money, kefel, money, fines, imprisonment. They talk about the point that the Mekosh, they put him in jail, Mishmar, they put him in jail. Where in the whole Torah does it say that you take a person and you torture him? And how do you torture him? Well, it's a standard procedure anyway. You whip him. You give him Malkos. Raj, what does it mean? The Yisro also. Pasuk says, Malkos! It doesn't say this word by any other lois assay, the 365 lois assays. It doesn't say you torture the person, even though you're doing really the same thing. And in addition, they give a financial penalty also. What is the message? The message is a person to go and to lie, and the consequence of your lie is to bring pain and suffering upon another person, is unforgivable. It's in a different category, a different league. I know there are a lot of people, I watch the news a little bit here and there, and a lot of people are very sympathetic. They're very sympathetic to the administration of the United States of America for the way they handled this whole thing. They wanted to go away. They wanted to go away. And they're in power. They have enormous power. You can't imagine how much power they have to make it go away. Okay. Listen, this is not our country. It's really none of our business. Well, they're great. Okay, a little bright is, Otherwise, let me just ask you a simple, simple question. What would have been if the situation would have been exactly the same and the Balabas would have been the state of Israel?
Or Donald Trump?
No, not Donald Trump. Keep mad at this. Let's say the state of Israel, Acheinu B'nai Yisrael, would have done exactly, they were in a situation exactly like this, where they were, they had a military base in some place and doing what they were doing.
They did that, Lebanon.
Right.
If they
abandoned an ally, we would be critical.
Do exactly the same, create the exact same situation, and the Israeli government, Acheinu B'nai Yisrael, would do exactly the same thing. And there'll be pictures on the news of the Israeli jets taking off with people falling off them, grabbing onto them and falling off from the sky. People being tortured in the street. People being even murdered. Moms, they've been murdered and shot out. Could you imagine? We literally would not be able to walk down the street over here on Avenue M. You'd be hiding. Because the hatred of the Goyim would come out with such a ferocity, you literally would have to go hide. In wherever you are in the world, if this is the way we behave, there's no question about it. I don't think anyone can deny that. If Klal Yisrael was in the same house, but America does it. America can do whatever they want. Okay, it's not, you know, it's complicated to go. But could you imagine? So what the point is, we're watching this, we're reading this parasha over here, we're reading about these things. I mean, look what it says in this parasha. The parasha here says, "Vaisaskik." Almost every single part of this parasha is mamash. The words leap off the page, describing what happened this week. Now you'll say, "Listen, who cares? It's America, you're right. It's not our country. We just guess here. Never forget, we just guess here." But how does this affect you as a Jew? Would you do the same thing? Is this the model for you to get up in front of the whole world just lie with a straight face to lie? It could not have been done. This is how. In retrospect, there's nothing we can do better. This is how it has to be. You can just go and get away with it. Also, like nothing going on. No accountability. Lo saskir eved el adonav. The mamash six parasha. The pasuk over here says, "Do not deliver a slave to his master." Where's the pasuk over here? Next parasha. I mean, these things are like so. It's just frightening. The words literally come out of the loisaskir eved el adoinov asher yinotzel elecha meim adoinov. You have a slave. You have people. These pathetic. They're very pathetic. These the Afghanistan people. Okay, they're not our friends. Let's not make any mistake. They'll kill us also. Okay, let's not make no mistake. The Afghanis are not our chaverim. But just look at the world from a step out. These people you're protecting, and now you just disappear. You deliver them in the hands of their master. Asher yinotzel elecha mi'imanav. Imcha yeshev b'kir b'cha. You got into this for the wrong reason. It doesn't matter if it was the wrong reason. You just can't do this. Imcha yeshev b'kir b'cha b'mok ma'asher yifchar b'achad sharecha b'atoiv loy. Loy toindenu. Don't go torture them. This is not the way a human being behaves. Good. Look, maybe it's good for them. But you read, what are the chances that we read these words against the backdrop of what the images we've seen this week? American citizens, who cares? Military, you get out of here, just abandon all of the American citizens. And they can't walk out in the street because if they lose their passport by the Taliban who takes their passport, they're done. The State Department said this themselves. We can't go. We don't control. We can't even get to you. It's a sakana for us to go out into the street outside the airport. They say billions of dollars of military equipment, air bases, 75 airplanes, military technology, drones. They probably even have missiles. They can shoot down commercial jets. It's just not to be believed. It's not to be believed what they left over for them, just for free. And you know, the women there, they're screaming. Honestly, read the pasuk. Okay, so you'll say, listen, that's America, Mikabel, Shtoik, it's none of our business. It's not what?
He's not going to get away.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. You'll see this. That's a. It's none of that really. You have to remember, it's not. This is not. It's none of our, this is not our country. It's not, we don't belong here. We're in Golis. It's in Golis, we don't belong here. This is not our country, we're not the Balabatim here. Ki'atem ha'ma'at, we're a burden to them, they don't like us, they hate us. Halacha b'yudu Esav soli Yaakov. The only danger is these midos, the midos that we live with, that we absorb from listening and watching and accepting this, it seeps into our body. So we become just like it. This is what you can do, this is what you can do. If this is what the government does, so we can do the same thing, it's acceptable. It may, for them, it's none of our business. But for us only, for Klal Yisrael, the behavior we've seen on the world stage is an abomination. Is nothing less for Klal Yisrael to imitate.
Think they can abandon Israel the same way?
Yes, what?
They can abandon Israel in 10 minutes.
Yes. What about us? Forget about Israel. What about the people sitting in this room? It's the same way they couldn't care less about what they've done over there. They think they care about us here in this room? Couldn't care less about us either. You couldn't care less with COVID. Everyone's beginning to wonder. The same way all of this is a lie, so what about everything else? Is everything else a lie? Is everything else a lie? I don't know. But you begin to wonder. Whatever it is. Again, we have to always remember, Halacha b'yadua Esav soni Yaakov. The Taliban don't like us. The Afghanis don't like us. The Americans don't like us.
We don't like
us. We don't like ourselves. We don't like us. That's not the point. It's not the point I want to make. We're not balabatim here. The point is, what about from a halachic, from a Torah point of view? From a Torah point of view, maybe this is good for America. I don't know. Who's to say? I don't fill me in all the details. I don't have access to all the secrets that go on. I don't know. But from our perspective, as Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos, this is an abomination. It's an abomination. Lo sasgir eved el adonav. You don't deliver people who are vulnerable to a brutal master. Asher yinotzi lelecho, who in the present time until now have been sheltered by you. Imcha yeshev, take care of them. You don't want, and it doesn't matter how it all started. You have to do it responsible. However you do it. Loi toinenu. I think it's also Merum is in the Pasuk. It says, V'yoseid tielcha al azeinecha. You shall have a yoseid among your weapons. V'hoyo b'shivtecha chutz. Now, what does this mean from Shushul Mikra? It means that when a person goes to the Beis HaKisei, you go to the Beis HaKisei when you're in the battlefield, and you go to the Beis HaKisei, make sure that you should cover the waist, so when, if you're ever passing there again, you should be able to daven Shemona Esrei there, whatever it is. Chazal make a drasha, that put your fingers, your seid means your fingers, into your ears, not to listen to Lashon Hara. After watching what happened this week, you know what it means? It means when you exit, you better have a good plan. The Yoseid means a weapon. It means a weapon, a plan. Tielcha should be al azeinech, among your weapons, among your weapons. V'hoyah b'shivtecha chutz, when you depart. When you sit on the outside, when it's time to leave. V'chafar teba, take your weapons, or take your tools, take your equipment and your tools and your all your chachamim, and the chafar the v'shavta, when you return the chisisa, cover up esei secha. Don't just walk out like that. When you walk out with a plan.
Plant retreat. That's what it is,
basically. Look, we said with the Kansi part.
Don't leave a mess.
That's what the pasuk is telling you. When you're dealing with battle over here, he said, "Say machna loyvecha." We're dealing with war over here, okay? And now it's time to leave. The war is over. You can't sit here forever. This is not going to work. You got to get out of here, okay? There's going to be a lot of pain, like I told you, the Kansi part. You can't solve the world's problems. You're going to leave, there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. But you don't take the eggs when the mother is right in front of you. That you don't do. You have to use a little seichel. The message for this is, okay, don't forget, this is America. From a Torah point of view, everything that we've seen today, this week, is unacceptable. From our point of view. And it shouldn't chas v'shalom, no, it really seeps in. One thing leads to another. If this is acceptable, it's acceptable. If in America, there's something called bankruptcy, I can't pay you. In business, I can't pay, I have to pay you $1 million? I don't have that kind of money. Bankruptcy! So what does bankruptcy mean? I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay. Look, in America, he forgave all the student loans, $5.6 billion. Anyone who went to college, went to medical school, anything, that got a student loan, have to pay back. You think that's a good idea?
No.
Maybe for America, it's a good idea. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not an economist to go analyze this. But from a Torah point of view, is that a mahalach? You can send a message to young people, borrow money, borrow enough to ever pay back. I mean, what kind of chinuch is that?
You can go into a store and take out things under $1,000 and I get prosecuted.
And unfortunately, this I do know, that this has this trend. Like, look, in America, you can give a bankruptcy. You have a store business, you set up a business, you have all the supplies, they give you. Oh, that's it. Business not good.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy. You lose, I win. That's what bankruptcy is, chapter 11. That's really what it is when everything's sent over. So it sinks into our values. You borrow money from your friends. I need some money to make a wedding. This, I'm going to pay back. Just get the money. Get the money. Paying back is not part of the equation of how you're going to pay back.
Certainly among some people, there's
this is not a Torah
value,
prescription.
But, you know.
Is it good for America? It's really none of our business. It's none of our business. They we're not the balabatim here. We never were. We never will be. It's none of our business. But from learning Chumash, Rashi, Mimav Sedra, you come to Shul on Shabbos, read the Parsha. When you read the Parsha, the Parsha doesn't just end when you come to Shul Shabbos morning at 11 o'clock, you're done with the Parsha, and you put it back on the shelf, and then you go out and you live your life according to their standards. Their standards are completely the opposite of everything that says in this week's Parsha. And you should never forget that. Okay, this is the way it is in America, for good or for bad, who knows? Who knows? But not for us. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
See my posts today. Every one of them is about Afghanistan.
Shabbos. But I should trust you. Somebody doesn't agree with what you said.
What is Shabbos for?
We are Americans, we Jews. We have a right to talk and act and think and do what we want as good Americans. And they don't know they can do it. He's a Jew.
They say they want to send them troops now, okay? Evacuate.
Going back in? You're going to ask them to recapture all the Black Hawk helicopters?
Good Shabbos, thank you. Shabbos.
You saw they have more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia. You know, but the Israelis, when the Americans were losing in Vietnam, they were stealing weapons left and right. The Israelis went on board weapons. They go smart. They go into intelligence. They buy some helicopters.
They have a lot of good drones. Yeah. They're so still having to use it.
They use the Israelis. They use the Israelis. They have access. Israel, they use the Israelis to teach to show. Tomorrow, come here. I sent you. By this guy, Eintan.
He's going. He's going on the next flight.
$55 million.
Okay.
He was a pilot. He knocked down four planes in one shot. He has like 12.
It's such a gate, so hard to go. I don't understand.
And he left the army. He went into. Look at it. Look him up. He develops systems for countries.
Dennis, how are you?
And he has a company that develops for
he develops a system for security, whatever, but he also has things that for the middle class he develops. He's a very wealthy. Look at him.
Such a great Sahara to go to Shemayim.
He's going to do
Tamari, it. How are you?
Someone asked you a question. What's the answer?
It's Sugi B'Shabbos.
How are you? How are you? How are you?
Are you going to go to eat by your parents, Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Where's the big action this week?
What action? No action.
Yeah, I think there's a...
No action.
No? Okay.
Now, Baruch, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, how are you?
The screen, the camera's not working here today.
Yeah, I know, I see.
I know, something
happened. This couple thing, what's happening?